With a heart to reach all of Iowa and every nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, KLM International is pleased to present this message. Pastors Kenny and Nija Linhart of the Cathedral have traveled all over the world proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ. And we would like to thank our friends and partners for making this message available to you at no charge. If you would like to learn more about KLM International or its many ministries, including the Cathedral, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Once again, that's klmintl.com. And now, prepare to receive from God's Word.
Well, are you guys ready tonight? Your heart's open to receive? You ready to be changed? I always am every time I come to church. So say, I love Jesus.
I love you.
Do you, Christopher?
I do.
I love Jesus. I love Jesus. And tonight I want to talk about something that we all have. We all have the same amount of it. We all can spend it the same way, or we can invest it the same way. We all have it. I'm not talking about money. What do you think I'm talking about?
What?
Time. Is that what you said? We all have time. You looked at my notes, probably. I'm joking. I want to talk about our time tonight a little bit. And I really want to get to our appointed time. Appointed means our predestined, our set time in life. You can waste your time, oh me, or you can invest your time. Glory be to God. Tonight I'm going to talk about an appointed time in our life. You know, there's time stealers in our life. And I want to talk about some of those and clarify that. One is people. We all need to spend time with people. But you got to watch out for people that steal your time. Maybe they visit just a little bit too long. Maybe they talk a little too long, and that talk turns into things you shouldn't be talking about. And it's okay to lovingly tell people, I enjoyed our time together, but I need to really be going now. You know, some of us are too kind that we can't put a stop to conversations. You want to invest time into people's lives to bless them, but there is a limit where people can really steal your time, and that isn't healthy, that isn't productive. And you have to keep your mind and hearts open to those type of people. Time stealers, we're talking about right now. What else is a time stealer? Social networking is a big time stealer. It's wonderful, and I'm all into keeping in touch with family members that live elsewhere, classmates from 25 plus years ago, Facebook, I'm talking about Instagram, posting pictures. But hey, that can be a time stealer in your life. The web, the internet. Go on there, get research material, get what you need, but don't waste time on things that are really of no value in your life. TV shows, it's another time stealer. Hey, it's okay. I enjoy watching a flick every now and then. Pastor Kenny and I enjoy kicking our feet up on the ottoman, snuggling, watching the show, but there should be a limit. Half hour, an hour program. But when you've gone 2-3 hours, that's a time stealer. Unless if you're watching a documentary or something, okay? Or doing something for school. What else is a time stealer? Movies, watching too many. One movie. But hey, I know some girls that do movie weekends, and they watch 4 movies a weekend. I'm like, what? What did you do all weekend, you know? You know, some people have things in their life that can steal time. Hobbies. Scrapbooking. I don't know. A hobby that some of you guys might have. Hunting. Just watch what you invest your time in. Time stealers. How should we be investing our time? Ultimately, as a body of Christ, we all should be saying the word. But there's more to than just the word. Times of prayer, that's investing your time. Times with each other is investing our time. With the body of Christ, that's investing your time. These aren't time stealers. Times in prayer, times praying in the Holy Ghost, times in praise and worship. When's the last time you just sat in a room by yourself, turned off the radio, turned off the TV, just lifted up your hands and said, Jesus, I am so in love with you. And sat there for a half hour. That's investing your time. Those time stealers, you have absolutely no fruit in your life from those things. It's a momentary pleasure. What else is a momentary pleasure? Sin. I'm not saying if you do those things, you're sinning, but you're going to get the same result. It's not a good result. But when you invest your time, you're going to have fruits that last in your life. You're going to be a blessing. You're going to be blessed. You're going to have energy. You're going to have vitality. You're going to be an overcomer. You're going to be victorious. I guarantee, Adam, if you spend 15 minutes a day in the Word, you're going to be a better man in 6 months than you are today. 15 minutes a day. Now, don't show me your hands, but I know when Pastor Kenny was doing the righteousness series, I think just about every Wednesday night your homework was read Romans. Now, how many of you read Romans between Sunday and Wednesday? Don't raise your hand. I know he probably did. I'm still catching up on a few weeks ago. That's a lot of work, but that's investing your time. If you haven't spent time in the Word, if you haven't been spending time praying, you have no right to be on the internet. You have no right to be watching a TV show. You have no right to be on social networking. I'm giving you vital information that's going to save your life. When you come in contact with the circumstance in your life that is earth-shaking and you haven't spent time with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you think you're going to make the right decision? I'm sorry, you're not. If you've been on the social networking, wasting your time chatting with friends, wasting your time on TV, wasting your time doing those time stealer things, you can't hear the voice of God. So just reevaluate, what am I doing with my time? Because there is an appointed time right now for your life. Let's look at some people and their appointed time in life. Ultimately, who do we want to be like? Jesus. Absolutely. A plus. He always says the right answer, even in discipleship class. He always has the right answer, even before I do. How do you do that? I guess that's why he's the associate pastor. You don't know it, but I sit there and I'm like, dang it, he said the right answer before me again. I'm Pastor Kenny's wife. I should know the answer. But Pastor Kenny knows what's in him. That's why you have the position you have. Amen. And we love Pastor Josh so much. Jesus. Do you know when John the Baptist was beheaded? Jesus went away from the people. He wanted to be alone. And what happened moments later? Multitude of people came and tracked him down. Do you think Jesus said, hey guys, I need some me time. I need some time to myself. No, he healed them. He was always constantly with the multitudes, pouring his life out, feeding them, healing them, teaching them, discipling them. Wow. Peter, you read in the Bible, where's Peter always going? He's going to the temple courts. He's going to the temple gates. He goes into the temple by the gate called Beautiful, and he heals a beggar. You always hear Peter going to the temple, or we could say today, he's going to church. He's going to church again. He's going to church over and over. There he goes to church again. Peter's constantly going to church to teach, to preach, to heal. That's what they're doing with their time. Paul goes on missionary journeys, one after another after another. Antioch, Cyprus, Perga, Paphos, just to name a few, on and on and on. He's constantly spending his time going to places like a missionary, telling people that have not heard the message. That's how he's spending his time. Abraham, Moses. They heard a command from God. They obeyed God. What did they spend their time doing? Listening to God. Following the pillar of fire by night and the cloud by day. Constantly looking for God. Watching God. Obeying God. Leading the multitudes to follow God. Wow. What a mission. Their time, their appointed time, was to lead people. Their time was to teach people. Their time was to set the captives free. Their time was to do signs, miracles, and wonders. That was their appointed time. And guys, they have come and they are gone. Now we have to pick up the baton. We need to be the ones setting the captives free. We need to be the ones teaching, preaching, delivering. We need to be the ones using our time, getting into the Word, feeding ourselves, encouraging ourselves. That's what we need to be spending our time doing. Have you heard that phrase before? If you show me your checkbook, I can tell you where your heart is or who you really love. Have you ever heard that before? Well, my saying is, show me your daily planner or your calendar, and I can tell you who you really love. Where are you spending your time? You know, our personal family, we don't spend too much time doing sports. We don't spend too much time doing extracurricular activities. And we did that as a family and made a decision to do that for the purpose of putting Jesus first in our family's life. Most of you know, but maybe some of you don't know, we have 7 children, 1 in college and 6 at home. And if you're into sports, praise the Lord, but I'm telling you my personal example here. We don't want to raise up football players. We don't want to raise up baseball players. And don't get me wrong, my children do these things. They do piano lessons. They do violin. They do cheerleading. They do swimming. But they do them in a season. We don't go boom, 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 one after another all year long. No, because we want to have time as a family where we can first and foremost read the Word together, pray together. Man, I mean, without being in all those sports, our family's so busy, I don't see how families do it that are constantly going to a baseball game, a football game, a soccer game, and on Wednesdays and on Sundays. I don't know how they do it. When do you have time to sit with your children or even just your spouse or yourself, open up the Bible and read? My children, my 2-year-old all the way to my 10-year-old, were doing Read the Bible in a Year. Of course they kick and complain at times because they have to read 4 or 5 chapters a day. But hey, if I'm going to spend 30 minutes with them reading the Word, that's investing my time versus sitting at a baseball game for 30 minutes wasting my time with them, because I'm not raising a baseball player. I'll let them experience that in life to get, you know, a knowledge of that sport. But ultimately, we're raising men and women of God. So our appointed time is to train, to teach, to set people free. Amen? Are you getting anything yet? How are you spending your time? Just think about, how am I spending my time? Ultimately, we should be seeking first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? How do we do that? Usually you think right away, prayer. At least that's what I usually think of when I hear somebody say, seek ye first the kingdom of God. Have you really thought, what does that mean? Seek ye first the kingdom of God. What does that mean? How do you do that? I'll let you think for a moment. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Okay, think Mark 16:15. What does that say? Go into all the world and preach. If you want to, go ahead and open your Bibles there. I should have you open your Bibles while you're at church. Mark 16:15. Go into all the world and preach. If you're seeking God first in your life, you're going to obey and do what he tells you to do. And that's a command for all of us. Go. Or if you've been doing your homework in Romans, in chapter 1, verse 5, he says, it is through him that we have received grace, God's unmerited favor, and our apostleship to promote obedience to the faith and make disciples for his name's sake among all the nations. That's out of the Amplified Version. So ultimately, when you are spending time with God, seeking him first, he's already told you in the Word, if you haven't gotten a direction by a rhema voice, by an inward leading, he's written it down for you to make it easy, and it says, go. Okay, now what do I do, Lord? All of you are here. Ultimately, he's told each of you, go to Des Moines. Go to the cathedral. Go. You have come. You're here. And I know you're not here because of the comforts of the cathedral. I know you're not here because of the state that it's in right now, though it is being beautified. I know you're not here because of Pastor Kenny and I. I know you're not here because of the location. It's something God must have spoken to each and every one of you, just like he spoke to Pastor Kenny and I, go to the cathedral. And you obeyed, and you came, and you're here. Now let's do something with what he's called you to do, because each one of you have something that is needed in this church, in this land, in this community that they need. There's something in you, because God said that he places you in the body as he sees fit, right? We didn't call any of you and say, oh, would you please be a member at the cathedral? We could really use your singing ability or your teaching. No, God places you in the body as he sees fit, because there's something in you that this community needs. And that's what we should be spending our time doing. We should be polishing up the gifts and the talents that he has put within us and distributing it to the community and the people around us. Now, when he calls you to a place, it's one thing to obey and to go, but it doesn't stop there, does it? You got to continue to obey him. Keep doing what he tells you to do while you're at that place. He'll show you, he'll tell you. And you know, as a body, we really don't have the right, or we really don't have the permission to say to God, well, Lord, God, you didn't create me, or let me rephrase that. You shouldn't tell other people, God didn't tell me to do such and such. Like, say, for instance, we used to do this. We don't do it anymore. We deliver bread to Oak Ridge. We used to do it every single Sunday, okay? And say some of the people say, hey, would you mind helping deliver bread every Sunday? And if you come back and say, well, you know, that's not my ministry. God's called me to do praise and worship, not deliver bread. You know, I ask you, reevaluate your heart. Nobody should ever say words as, that's not my ministry. That's not my calling. That's not what God created me to do. He told you, go, and you do whatever it takes. And he will get you to the place of what he's anointed you to do. If you can't obey him in the little, you're never going to obey him in the area he's called you and anointed you to be. If you can't deliver bread to Oak Ridge, if you can't go to the administration building and clean for an hour, if he's told you to do that, if you can't put buckets under the leaks, if you can't sweep, if you can't do that, God cannot give you the ministry that you've seen yourself doing. You know, when Pastor Kenny and I lived in Ankeny, we lived there for over 10 years, and when he told us to come to Des Moines, you know, we weren't ecstatic. Woohoo! We're going to go to Des Moines! No. It was more, okay, Lord, we love you, and we'll obey. You told us to go, and we'll go. We'll do it. And we know God. We weren't God's first choice to be here. We know that. We knew that God had called other people to take over this building and this land. Just in times of prayer, we just kind of feel like we were maybe like the sixth or seventh person that God said, will you go? So we took baby steps. We acquired the church. Pastor Kenny was here every single day. But me and the children lived our life in Ankeny. Went to school in Ankeny, did our activities in Ankeny. So Pastor Kenny was all here, but Pastor Nija wasn't. And, you know, it was a struggle because for 2 years we traveled back and forth. And, well, this is going to help somebody in with the go and obeying him, okay? And for 2 years, you know, we lived very comfortably. I was very happy. My kids were very happy. But inside, it was like something is not right. I've got to obey God. Even though everything up here was saying, no, you're crazy. What are you think you're going to do? Move your kids into Sherman Hill next to Oak Ridge? I mean, those of you that don't know the area, do your homework and research it yourself. But I was like, no way, Lord. But the peace was there to do it. It's just weird how your mind doesn't always agree with your spirit right away. So I said, okay, Lord, let's do this. Put our house on the market. Finally, it sold. We came here. I could sleep better at night. So much peace and obeying God. But you know, God revealed and showed me something. That when you obey Him, not only in the go, there's something that happens spiritually. There is a tangible anointing from your very presence. You know, Jesus healed. Jesus, when people touched the garments of Jesus, they were healed. When Peter's shadow overshadowed people, they were healed. There's a tangible anointing in your presence. So when we moved our whole family here, not just Pastor Kenny, but our whole family, we were in one accord, one unity, and said, okay, Lord, we're going to be here. We're here. And you know what? It's just like, wow, we have dominion all of a sudden over this land. We have authority. We can cast out demons in this place. There's something about the anointing from your very presence. Open your Bible and turn to Hebrews 2:8, please. It says, and put everything under their feet. In putting everything under them, God left nothing that is not subject to them. Our feet are here now. Your feet are here. God called you to the cathedral to place your feet on this land so every demon, every unclean spirit, every demonic activity that happens in Sherman Hill, in Oak Ridge, in Des Moines, we have authority over now. It's under our feet. There's something in you, Dave, that can cast out demons and unclean spirits. That's why God called you here. But God can't work that through you if you're not here. And I'm not just talking about Sunday morning and Wednesday night. There's something about your very presence in a place. You know, Peter's shadow could only reach so far. So the people that lived in Indianola and Carlisle and the other places, they couldn't get the healing. They're too far. Jesus' garments could only stretch so far. So the people living in Ankeny and Urbandale, they couldn't touch it. But the people in Des Moines, where God has called us to be, are going to get set free from what's in us. God's called us here to reach these people. God called somebody else to reach the people elsewhere. That's not where we are to reach. We are to take possession of Des Moines. And you know what's so awesome about being here is that Des Moines touches basically the whole nation, because we are the heart. If you look on a map, almost the very center of the United States of America is Iowa. And for us to be in the capital of Iowa, I know Pastor Kenny shared this before, and he's the percentage person, not me, but so much of Des Moines really affects the rest of our world. The foods that that ship out of Des Moines, Even we affect and touch the presidential caucuses from Des Moines. Certain brands they test in Des Moines before they take it out to the other areas of our nation, because Des Moines has such an impact and pull on these brands. Talk to Pastor Kenny if you want to know more about that. But there's so much that happens in Des Moines that it's like, wow, God placed us here in Des Moines to take authority and dominion of this place at such a time as this. Noah's time has come and gone. Esther's time has come and gone. Paul's time has come and gone. Whose time is it? It's Dr. Oz's time. It's Corey's time. It's Johnny's time. It's Pastor Josh's and Cherry's time that we need to step up and set the captives free. You know, we live next to Sherman Hill, and they have We have done the Christmas caroling. We've outreached the community with Christmas caroling. And I can't tell you how many emails we got that so many people were blessed from the cathedral to come out and sing to them. You know, they have the 5K, one hill of a run, and we sponsor that. Well, we're a sponsor of that. So it's an outreach to the community. They have the Halloween on a hill. Is that what they call it? And we don't participate in that, but we want to offer the trunk or treat. We've done that with the church before, but we would like to offer that to the hill. I mean, gosh, there's so much that we can do and we want to do to take possession and authority and dominion over this area. You know, there's witches that live in Sherman Hill. People shouldn't know the hill as the witches, but they should know the hill as the glory of God and the light of the Lord. We have that authority to do that. Edmonds, the school, we even have authority over that area, but we have to get in there to possess it. Right now, just me and a handful of the girls from the office do that. We can use more people to come alongside of us. What am I talking about? What did I start off by talking about? Your time. Time stealers versus investing your time. Now what I'm talking about is ways you can invest your time. Invest your time in the church. Invest your time in our community. Invest your time in the school. That's how we are going to set the captives free. That's how we're going to make a mark like Peter and Paul and Jesus and Noah. You know, that's how we do it, by being at this place and doing something. The schools have opened up their doors to us. Let's take advantage of that. Pastor Nija, if you know people that can come and just read to the kids once a week, man, they need help. You know that policy President Bush put in place, No Child Left Behind? I had the wrong idea about that. What that means is no matter how much you're struggling in third grade, you're going to get pushed on to fourth grade, even if you're struggling, because they don't want you being left behind. There's kids in fifth grade that can't even read, and they're pushing them through. That is not right. And it's not their responsibilities. It's ours, the church. Why do you think God put us here right next door to Edmonds? That is not right. So the church, we need to step up. Get our feet in that place. Take authority and ownership and possession. It's more of a spiritual thing. Yes, we need to do natural things, but so much more will be done spiritually because we're children of God. It's just amazing to see how much God multiplies what we put our hands to. It's amazing, isn't it, Akilah, to see how much we can get done in such a short amount of time and the joy in doing it. Oh, I love Akilah. I go in there 2 weeks ago and I say, ladies, we're spring cleaning. And I don't mean we're dusting and vacuuming. I mean, we're tearing down stuff and getting rid of junk. We're taking authority. And man, we got so much done. We've dumped, what, 3 dumpster loads? We've taken 2 dumpster truck full to the scrapyard. I mean, in like a week and a half, 3 of us have done all that work. Plus, we've cleaned out rooms. We've moved chairs. We've moved tables. We've moved props. We've moved costumes. I mean, the list goes on and on. There's no way 3 feeble women could possibly do that without the anointing of God. And you should see Akilah. If anybody wants to get her a birthday gift, get her a drill. Okay, back to what I was saying. The school, they want people to read. They want people to help in the lunchroom, to serve. They want just somebody to stand there in the morning and hold open the door to greet the kids, to be sure they cross the street from Oak Ridge into the schoolyard safely. You know, just these little things that we could do to change this community for the glory of God. The church in itself. Oh my gosh. I could sit down with you for 2 hours and tell you anywhere you can help. From the office, Pastor Josh could sit down with you for a week and tell you things that you can help. And, you know, please understand, I'm not saying this to get you here to help us. I'm saying this so we can invest our time wisely to change the land, to bring the anointing of God, to kick the devils out of this place, to teach, to set the captives free, to heal the sick, to raise up people Why do you think we have, why do you think God has blessed us with the old Planned Parenthood building? To train and raise up the little ones so they can become leaders and men and women of God. Why do you think God put us right next to Oak Ridge? Glory to God, to change the murderers, to change the people who steal, to change the people that commit crimes, to change those that have the wrong mindset, to become overcomers, to become the light of God. Oh gosh, God, put the zeal in them that's within me about how blessed we are to be here in Des Moines, how blessed we are to have authority over this place. I mean, the capital, for goodness sakes, and downtown is just an arm's reach from us to change that place. Wow. God is just so awesome. I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. Now, when God tells you to go and you obey, praise the Lord, you obeyed God. Now we got to continue to obey God. Whatever he tells you to do, or even if he didn't tell you to do, maybe Pastor Josh asked you to do something. Or Pastor Kenny or myself have asked you to do something. You know, guys, there's not enough time in our life to say, let me pray about it. It's not hurting us, it's hurting you, to be honest. Because you're missing out on a blessing where God can use you. It's not hurting us at all, because God always will send somebody. Just like we were not the first person God called to be at the cathedral. Pastor Kenny and I were like the sixth or seventh person. And man, you know, in the natural, it's like, how can you be blessed? But I tell you what, we love being here. Oh, we would not, or Pastor Kenny and Pastor Josh would not be here 7 days a week. Even on his day off. Well, he doesn't have a day off, do you? Even when he's supposed to have a day off, he's like, I'm going to go down, just walk around the land, check things out, because he has pleasure in it. That's what's so awesome about God. Even when you just say, okay, Lord, he gives you the pleasure of doing whatever he has for you to do. And you're like, man, I never knew I would enjoy doing that. You know, I love children. My children. But then other people's children, it's like, oh, Lord, help me. So when Pastor Kenny said, I need you to take over children's ministry because I need Josh with me in here, okay, I love my children. But you know what? As soon as I got over there, I was like, oh, I love doing this. And I just told him the other night, I just love teaching the kids, all of them. I love them so much. And you know what? That was from God. Because before Pastor Kenny asked me to take that department over, I was like, I go, Kenny, you know, I love our kids. When it comes to other people's kids, that's a whole different ballpark. I can love them from a distance, but I love being there. And I love you guys, but I'd rather be there with them. They're so cute. One night, little Jennifer, I kept saying, by Jesus' stripes, we are healed. We need to tell our friends that by Jesus' stripes, you are healed, and you pray for them. Pastor Nija, what are Jesus' stripes? Hello. Sometimes we speak at such a higher level, our Christian words, that the little ones are like, Jesus has stripes? I just had to throw that in there for you because I thought it was funny. Okay, but when God has called you to go and you obey, praise the Lord. And then when he calls you or somebody in the body asks you to do something, be faithful with it. Don't just do it once or twice and think, I've done my duty, I'm done. Be faithful. God's a faithful God. We should be a display of God and be faithful. You know, you shouldn't show up once or twice. You shouldn't show up 30 minutes late. Whatever it is that you're supposed to do, stick with it until. Stick with it until. Stick with it until God will give you the anointing and the grace to do it. Be faithful. So many people start off on a high note. I'm going to win this city for Jesus. I'm going to set the captives free. Glory to God. 2 weeks into it. Hey, brother or sister, how's it going? Oh, you just don't understand. And their list goes on and on and on and on. Uh-huh. Well, God gives you the strength. Be faithful. Yeah. yeah, it's tough on everybody sometimes serving the Lord. I'll be the first to admit it. It's not all praise the Lord all the time. But hey, don't give up. God's your strength. God gives you the ability, the resources, the finances, the power, the health, everything you need to get the job done, or you truly are not tapping into the body of Christ, His body. Be faithful at whatever it is He's called you to do or asked you to do. You know, each one of you has something for the cathedral, for this community, for this school, for Sherman Hill, for Oak Ridge. Each one of you have something to set us free. Ask God. You shouldn't even have to ask God. Use that, whatever it is. Maybe it's with computers, maybe it's with sewing, maybe it's with making pizzas, I don't know. Use it. Don't put it on the shelf. Or maybe it's not that talent right now. You have two hands that work, you have two feet that work. Bring glory to God by using those two hands and two feet in whatever He's asked you to do. I mean, I don't complain when I see crumbs over there. I vacuum, don't I, Akilah? I lift heavy boxes. Hey, a couple weeks ago, I was jumping on that dumpster out there trying to flatten it out. I don't care. If it's going to promote the kingdom of God, hey, I'll be the first. I'll do it. People drive by this place all the time. I don't want those crumbs and empty cups and cans sitting out there. I'm going to pick them up. People look at this place as a reflection of God. You know, even if you just have an hour to come out here and walk the grounds and pick up stuff, praise the Lord. Until He tells you what to do, your time. Let's invest our time, not waste our time anymore. Let's invest our time. This is your time. It's already been set. He already predetermined it. Isn't that pretty awe? Makes me go in awe. Makes me just go, wow, God already predetermined this for me even before I got here. So He's already given me the equipment and the resources and the abilities to do whatever that needs to be done. All right, let's pray. Hallelujah. 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 We love You, Lord. Hallelujah. We thank You, Father, for this time that You've called us here at this place. We thank You, Lord, for giving us wisdom to show us where we've been wasting our time and how we should be investing our time, Father. Clearly show us tonight the areas that we've been slacking off in and the areas that we need to pick up again in our lives. Father, I ask that each of us have that burning desire within us to show forth Your goodness to every person around us. Let that burn within us constantly. Let that be our heartbeat to be a blessing to this city. Let it be our heartbeat to set the captives free. Let it be our heartbeat to see Des Moines changed. Father, use us in any capacity. Equip us. And Father, we trust You. You said, as we seek You first, all these things will be taken care of or added unto us. Father, we trust You that as we seek You, as we invest our time in You and Your kingdom and Your body, that You will take care of all of our needs. You will take care of everything we need in life to sustain us, to provide for us. You'll take care of that as we put our hands to Your kingdom. I thank You, Father. I thank You for Your glory. I thank You for Your word. I thank You for the Spirit who continually leads us and comforts us. Hallelujah. We love You, Lord. We give You all the glory in all things that we do. Father, just speak to us clearly right now, Father. Speak to us clearly what it is. every person in this place. I ask that you continue to protect them and provide.
The time, amen. And I felt like when Pastor Nidra was praying, God spoke to me like this, and he said, you know, maybe this is just my own mind, but I feel like I've kind of had this grandiose idea in my head that when this gets done or that gets completed, when the filling station is set down, then we can really start ministering to kids. When the parsonage is done, then we can really focus on the church. Or when the church is finished, then we can really pack the house and really change this city. No, that it's time now for the church to be the church. Amen. As is. And God will add and multiply as we go. But it's time to be the church now. Now is the time. Amen. We're not waiting for a building to get finished. And maybe that was just for me, but if it can bless somebody else, I hope it does. Amen. We love you. We appreciate every one of you. And every second, every minute, every hour that you guys invest here on this campus is time that we appreciate and time that is valuable to us. We love you. We thank you for it. And we look forward to seeing you Sunday morning, if not sooner. Amen.
We hope that you are blessed by the word today. The friends and partners of KLM International make these messages available absolutely free. If you would like to partner with KLM International, then find us online at www.klmintl.com. Your gifts and partnership ensure that this ministry continues all over the world to win the lost and equip the body, as well as to help establish a campus in the heart of Iowa to transform this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Consider joining with KLM International today. Once again, our website is www.klmintl.com.